Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. I will commence with the 26th verse. In that particular verse, we read that they led him out to be crucified. And as they led him out, he, bearing his cross, going towards the place called Calvary, they met a man coming out of the country by the name of Simon of Cyrene. Upon him they laid the cross, that he may bear it after Jesus. In this verse, we have an account of Christ being led out. After listening, which I think most of you did, to the discourse this morning, after experiencing all the mockery and all what they did to him, they led him out. They led him to this place called Calvary. But on the way, it appears that from the loss of blood and in and through weakness, that he stumbled with the cross upon his shoulders. And for fear that he would not reach this place, they caught this man coming out of the country, and they compelled him to bear the cross after Christ. This man, Simon of Cyrene, he was in Jerusalem at this time for the Passover. When you read this, you would think that he was coming from work, that he had been working somewheres. No, he has been visiting in Jerusalem. There were many Jews in this particular part of the country called Cyrene, which was west of the land of Egypt, which was under the colonial empire of Italy until the year 1945, when it was taken away from them by the United States and Great Britain. These people, likewise, the Cyrenians, we read of them upon the day of Pentecost, that they likewise were to Jerusalem. They had in the city of Jerusalem a synagogue. Many of these Jews that came from various parts of the countries round about Jerusalem, who bore other names than Jews, they had synagogues in Jerusalem. According to the commentary, there was 480 synagogues of various people that came to Jerusalem to worship. Now this man, Simon of Cyrene, has also another name in Scripture. We find his name called Niger, N-I-G-E-R. He happened to be a teacher in the church at Antioch. This is the same man called Simon the Cyrenian. This man likewise became a martyr for the faith, and he died for the cause of Christ. He then was compelled to take this cross and bear it after Christ. There were three types of crosses which were used in crucifixion. The first cross was a figure X, two pieces of wood forming a figure X. This was generally called St. Andrew's cross. Then there was another cross which they used was as the figure T. It had a piece laying on the top of the upright. The next cross upon which Christ was crucified was called the Let-In cross. This cross piece in the cross was let in the upright from a foot from the top. And there they hung those people that were commonly executed by crucifixion. Now this man, Simon, compelled to bear this cross is a type of the Church of Christ. Oh, what a cross is the burden of sin, my hearers. When God lays sin upon the human soul, there is no greater burden to be borne than that. This burden, this cross, if it has not been laid upon Christ, will also weigh us down into the depths of hell. Sin, then, is a cross which everyone that is born again of God experiences it to be. This man, Simon, he had to take this cross to Calvary. There he was unburdened from it, and there they nailed Christ to it and hung him upon it. How many of my hearers have this cross which I've been speaking about, sin? How many are burdened with their sin? How many feel it? How many are weighted down under it? How many are crying unto God to be delivered from it? As Simon had to lead this cross to Calvary to be unburdened from it, so you likewise, soul, who are troubled with your sins, you will never be loose of them until you are led by the Spirit of God to Calvary to be given to see that Christ took your sins upon himself. Then that burden, that cross, will roll from your back. What a cross, likewise, is a guilty conscience. When God sets home the law to a sinner's soul, and this law begins to curse within, and conscience being open, witnessing against his sins, oh, what wrath, what indignation does such a person experience? How many of my hearers in this place? How many know something about the curses of God's law? How many are being burdened with this cross? Oh, how few have this cross. How few experience what it is to be cursed within. My hearer, you who may be burdened with this, who fear that you're going to be cursed away from God, who fear that God would be just if he did so, may I direct you to the cross of Christ. For there only you will be delivered from this cross. All we read, he became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Oh, dear hearer, may you be given to see that he bore your curse, that he fulfilled the law for you, that he took all your guilt upon him. Oh, what a sight that will be for you. Then that burden, that cross, you will find delivered from it by looking upon him who bore it for you. What a cross, my hearers, are the hidings of the face of God. Oh, when God conceals himself, what a cross this is to a soul that has experienced what it is to walk in the light of his countenance. Oh, these souls that are so burdened with the hidings of God's face, fear that he never will lift up his countenance upon them again. They go forward and they see him not. They go backward and they do not behold him. On the right hand where he worketh, they do not see him. And on the left hand, they cannot see or hear that he is there. Oh, how troubled are these souls. They fear that they've been mistaken. They fear that they will sink down in darkness. Oh, they experience what it is which we read of. Who is there among you that feareth the Lord, and that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Oh, my hearer, are you one of those creatures from whom God is hiding his face, and you fear that he never will look upon you anymore, that he never will have you, never visit you, never give you a token again of his love and of his mercy? Oh, may I direct you again to the cross of Christ. Look upon him that hung there, who also was deprived of the countenance of his Father, who cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you ever cry like that? Do you want to know the reasons why God is hiding his face from you? Wouldn't you like to have an answer to the question? He does it for his own reasons, my hearers. Sometimes it may be your sin that is the cause of it, but generally God does this to all his children. Very few walk from the beginning to the end in the light of his countenance. They have to be led like Christ Jesus was led. Oh, how many have crosses, outward crosses? How many of God's saints have a wife, have a husband, have children that do not fear God, who go on in sin and who are a grief to their souls? How many have burdens placed upon them, sickness in the family, partner probably ill, trouble concerning him or her? How many have likewise someone taken away from them, someone that's near and dear to them? What a cross this is, how it burdens a person. Oh, how many have various crosses in this life, and what a blessing if we are reconciled to the way which God is dealing with us. Oh, my hearers, have you such crosses? Are you burdened? Are you afflicted? Are you troubled? Are you grieving? Oh, may I direct you to the cross of Jesus Christ. May you be given to see what he bore and what he went through, and then all your crosses will be light indeed. My hearers, they took Christ in and led him towards Calvary, and as they were going along this way, there were certain women that followed him, a great company of people, and they lamented and wailed and weep because of Christ. Who these women were is a question. Some of them were faithful women, some of them that feared God, that had been followers of him and ministered unto him while he was here upon earth. But many of them were just ordinary women, and when they seen Christ being led away, they were deeply affected. Their feelings got the best of them. There were three being led away to be crucified. Here was one that had been mutilated, had been treated so barbarously, who had been smitten upon the back, who had been smitten upon the brow with crown of thorns on his head, who was all covered with blood. And when these women beheld this sufferer being led away to be crucified, they broke down and they began to weep and they began to wail. We can understand any human being seeing something like this being affected naturally. And Christ, he stopped amidst all his suffering and turned and spake to these women and said unto them, O daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep over yourselves and over your children. For the day shall come when they shall say, Blessed is she that hath not bared any children, nor had her paps be sucked. Blessed are they that have had no children then, for they shall cry unto the mountains, Fall upon us, and to the hills, cover us. Here Christ turns then and speaks to these women who were weeping, who were wailing. He learned them a lesson. He taught them that all their natural weeping and all their wailing would not help them one bit and would not help him likewise. But he taught them that they should weep and that they should wail over themselves and over their children. For there was a time coming, and that time was nearby, that the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans, when they and their children would be visited for the very sins which they now were committing in crucifying the Lord of life and glory. He turned to them and pointed out to them what would come upon them and their children. Oh, what a terrible judgment came down upon these Jewish people, my hearers. When Titus invaded the city of Jerusalem, there were millions of Jews, according to the commentary, almost 2 million Jews perished in the siege of Jerusalem. There were not enough crosses. They ran out of wood to crucify the Jewish people. Oh, how many mothers even ate their own children in the siege. So many died of hunger and of the sword. And many of them fled to the mountains and to the caves. And these are the ones that Christ is speaking about. Oh, they would have rather had the mountains fall upon them and the caves consume them rather than die the way these people were being slaughtered in the city. Oh, my hearers, Jesus points to these women that they shouldn't weep about him, but that they should weep concerning themselves and concerning their children. Weep about your sins and about your iniquities, which shall be the cause of that terrible destruction that shall come down upon you. In this, my hearers, we likewise have a lesson. Did Jesus speak to the daughters of Jerusalem that they should weep over themselves and over their children? Oh, how much cause have we as parents to weep over ourselves and over our children? May I ask you a question? Do you ever weep about yourself? Are you concerned about your sins? Do they ever bring you down in secret, weeping, wailing, crying out what a creature you are? Oh, how I wish every one of my hearers were brought down in truth and in uprightness. Oh, are there any tears ever on your cheeks, my hearers, which God gathers in his bottle? Oh, what a mercy to be a weeping creature. A weeping Mary we read of. She was at the feet of Christ. she wept. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wept over yourself? Have you ever wept over your children? Have we not cause to do so? But did these Jewish people perish in the city of Jerusalem? There is a day of judgment coming, my hearers, a terrible day, when we and our children may cry out likewise, oh, that the mountains and the rocks would conceal us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Or did Jesus teach these women to weep over themselves and over their children? Oh, my hearers, may we be given to do likewise. May we be given to return unto him, weeping and wailing because of our sins and our iniquities. He has said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Or when we view our children, those of you that have children, and we see the life that they lead and where it shall end, oh, how much cause of grief and sorrow are they for our hearts. Or if we love our children, most certainly they will be carried to the throne of grace with many tears, that God would show mercy to them. And we know not when God will. It may be after we have gone away. God is free when that he visits us and our children with his grace. And now Jesus spake unto these people likewise and said, if they do this to the green tree, what shall become of the dry? If they do this in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? It was as if he said, I am that green tree. The Jews, they considered a good and an upright person a green tree. A wicked and a barren land, they considered a dry tree. And now, my hearers, Christ is speaking to them that he was that green tree. And oh, how he suffered, what he went through, who knew no sin, who had never done anything wrong, but always had done good. Oh, what would become of those dry trees that had no union with him, that had no spiritual life, who were still dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, what shall become of them? Oh, my hearers, what sort of a tree are you? We are all as trees here upon earth. Are we a green tree, or are we a dry tree? Have we union with Christ? Have we life divine? Have we some fruits that came from him? From me shall thy fruit be found. Or have we no fruits? Are we still a dry tree? What a wonder that you still cumber the earth. Oh, my hearers, it will be a terrible thing in the day of judgment to be found to be a dry tree. For then they shall be gathered in bundles, and they shall be cast into the everlasting fire of hell. Or there may be a soul here that says, that's me. I'm that dry tree. I fear that's what's going to take place with me. Oh, I have no more life. I have no more exercises of faith. I'm so cold and so barren and so dry and so lifeless that I fear but that is going to be my portion. Oh, how often do the children of God take the opposite side and say that they are the dry tree. Oh, dry tree, are you that? In truth, in reality, in feeling, who knows themselves to be such if they have no life within them? It is life that gives you to feel that you are a dry tree. Oh, Christ says in his precious word that he will make the dry tree to flourish, that he will make the barren land into a fruitful field. Yea, let not the eunuch say, I am a dry tree, for I will give unto him a name better than sons and of daughters, an everlasting name that shall never be blotted out. Oh, dry tree in our midst, there is hope that you yet will flourish, because you have a union with this green tree, the tree of life, who ever liveth and whose fruits are for the healing of the nations. And they led Christ to Calvary. And as they led him to Calvary, they took two malefactors with him to be put to death. These two criminals, they likewise were led out of the city of Jerusalem at the same time. And they were led to be put to death. Malefactors were criminals, men that had committed a capital offense. These two men, they were to die for the offense and the act that they had committed. They were then under the sentence of death, and they too would be crucified with Christ. Oh, my hearers, what maketh you and I to differ from these malefactors? We have the seed of every sin within us, and if left to ourselves, or if left to the deceit and the desperate wickedness of our hearts, oh, what sin would we not fall into? Oh, my hearers, these malefactors, they were being led to the place of execution. And they were under the sentence of death. Believe me, my hearers, if you have the sentence of death in reality in your heart, like these men had it upon them, then you likewise will realize something of what it will be if you die under that sentence. These men had it. But there are many of you, my hearers, that are under the sentence of death, that are criminals, that have transgressed God's holy law and know it not, who feel it not, who realize it not, and who also are traveling to the day of judgment, to the day when God will separate the living from the dead. Oh, could I awaken you to the fact that you are under the sentence of death, that death is hanging over your head, and that it can come down upon you any moment. And woe be unto you if you are found outside of Christ. What a blessing it is when the Spirit of God brings hold for the sentence of death to our hearts. Paul says that he had the sentence of death. Oh, my hearers, that is a sentence that only Christ can speak us free from. Oh, to have in us that God is just, that if he sends us to eternal death. Oh, what a wonder it is, my hearers, even outwardly, that we have not been brought before the court of justice, and that we have not been sentenced like these two malefactors to death. This likewise teaches us Christ going out with these malefactors. He was numbered with the transgressors. But he also was going to deliver those creatures with whom he was going to the cross. Murderers and thieves, for them Christ was going to suffer and die upon the cross of Calvary. Was not Moses a murderer? Was not David a murderer? Was not Manasseh a murderer? Was not the thief going to hang with him a murderer? And they are now in glory, in heaven above, in paradise. And who led them there? Christ. Through his suffering and through his dying, merited that such creatures may enter into heaven above. Oh, my hearers, the sovereignty of the grace of God is so glorious displayed in his precious word, in all his dealings with his creatures. They led him then to Calvary. Calvary is called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. It obtained its name from that that people imagined that this hill, 18 feet high, northwest of the city of Jerusalem, had the resemblance of a skull. Some think because that criminals were executed there, therefore it received its name, Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. Hear, my hearers, criminals were executed, and here they led Christ and the two malefactors with him to this place. It is a memorial place because Christ was crucified there. At the present time, it has masses of piles and things have been built there. But at the time when Christ was crucified, it was an open country and there were many gardens round about it. And near to this place, Calvary, even Joseph of Arimathea had a garden. And in that garden, as we know, there was a sepulcher in which Christ Jesus was laid. And when they came to Calvary, there they crucified him and the two malefactors with them. Crucifixion, my hearers, was a crude mode of punishment. When they led malefactors to be crucified, when they came to the place where they were to be executed, the law was that they had to bear their own cross to this place, which we see in Christ, although they laid it upon Simon the Cyrenian. And when they brought them to this place, they usually gave them a potion of strong drink that would stupefy and numb their nerves. We read that they gave Christ vinegar to drink, and he refused it. And when they brought these criminals to this place, they usually took the cross and laid it upon the ground. And they bound this criminal upon the two pieces of wood, and four soldiers took hold of them. And they drove big spikes through the hands and through the feet into the wood and riveted the nails in the wood so that they would not come out. And as they were doing this to Christ, the commentary says, then it was that he prayed and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After they had nailed him to this cross on the ground, they dug a hole and they put this cross upright and they let the thing fall down into the hole with a jerk, which gave a convulsive shock to the body of the person that was upon the cross. How it must have went through the arms and the feet of Christ when they dropped this cross into the ground. And after they had filled this hole with dirt, then these people were placed opposite each other, and Christ was placed in the midst of them. He who is between the Father and between the Holy Spirit was hung between two malefactors, as if he was the greatest of criminals. All my hearers, they usually put a superscription over the top of the cross of the person that was crucified, explaining the crime for which he was crucified. They put over the cross of Christ, this is the King of the Jews, in three languages. And there Christ was crucified on Calvary, as if he was the greatest of transgressors. He was, my hearers, in the sight of his Father, in the sight of God, he was the greatest of transgressors. But he who never sinned was laid, was given, that all the sins of his church were laid upon him. He then bore all the sins of his church in his body on the tree. Oh, behold, we have then explained to you how Christ has been crucified on Calvary. May I ask you a question? Are you concerned whether he was crucified for you or not? Or does it ever come up in your heart, in your mind, in your prayers? Oh, blessed Jesus, wast thou crucified for me? Have you ever, by the Spirit of God, been led to the cross of Christ and be given to see that you crucified him, that it was your sins that nailed him to the accursed tree? Have you ever been given to believe that his body was broken for you? My hearers, a person that was crucified by the Romans, he was allowed to remain on the cross until his body fell down off the cross from sheer weakness. And when through suffering so, the body would fall on the ground. But the Jews were not allowed to leave the person hang on the cross any longer than sunset. And if they were still alive at the time of sunset, they usually took a hammer or a mallet and they break the bones of those that were crucified. Or otherwise they took a sword and they pierced the side of such a person so that he would die. So we see in Christ that when they came to him, they found that he had already died, that they did not have to hit him with a hammer or a mallet. But to be sure, a soldier took a sword and pierced his side, and out of that side came blood and water, an emblem of his blood and of the purifying operations of the Spirit of God, an emblem that he had died. Oh, may this lesson, this day, be blessed to your immortal souls to that end, that you may weep, that you may wail, that you have crucified Christ. For he has said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn over him as over an only son. May we all be given to mourn over this precious Jesus in this manner. That's all for today.